Ruth chapter 2. Look, we're going to read the first three verses, and that's all we'll cover tonight. Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Verse number 1, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Our Heavenly Father, bless the reading of the Word. God, have your way tonight. Be with all of our children over next door and a lot of special things they have going on over there, planning, doing different things. I pray that you'll bless them. I pray that you'll bless each lesson that's taught. And I pray the gospel will be given out, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. In our last study, we saw Naomi coming back to Bethlehem, Judea. And she reminds us of that believer who falls away from God and comes back. Naomi is eventually over the next few verses, she's going to kind of get in the backside. We're going to look at Boaz a little bit tonight, more next week. But it's going to be more of Boaz and Ruth. It's going to be more of them as we go along. And when you think of Valentine's Day, you think, this is not really a love story, but it is. Ruth fell in love with the Lord. And then she falls in love with Boaz. And we're going to see that as we go along over the next few weeks. A new land and a new life. When you look at this chapter and where we're headed in chapter 2, we're going to begin looking at spiritual growth. See, she left Moab, the old life, and she's now in Bethlehem in the new life. And the second chapter is a process of spiritual growth and enlightenment. See, when we're born, we're babes, but we can't stay a baby forever. I've pastored 60-year-old babies, and I mean that because they're spiritually immature. Peter said in the Word, and I've got it right down here, First Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And 2 Peter 1:5-7, and beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge temperance, to your temperance patience, to your patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. One of the goals of any church should be spiritual growth. Why is it that I harp a lot on reading the Bible? Because I want you to grow spiritually. The only way we're going to grow spiritually, David, is by reading this Bible. I can preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and my goal and anybody I bring in is to give the Word. But we can only do it. We can't do it by ourselves. You need to go home and read. And we are just privileged to have this book right here. This is the book that is inspired. This is the book that God has allowed us to have. And we need to treat it as such. So spiritual growth is very important. I read a survey that said 60% of people in this country profess to belong to some church. 60%. I don't believe that. I believe maybe they are on a roll. I've done the door-to-door visitation, and I'm a little hesitant anymore to do that in our society, but I've done it. You knock on the door. I'd like to invite you to such and such church. Oh, I'm a member of that church. I had a guy tell me that when I was at Memorial last church. The guy said, I'm a member of that church. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. How long has it been? Oh, I haven't been that long. I said, well, I've been pastor 2 years. I hadn't seen you. Oh, well, maybe it's been longer than 2 years. Maybe like 40. I said, okay, now look. I'm a member of church. Whoopee. Big deal. But 60%. And I just, when I look at those stats that we get, and has anybody ever had a poll taken about church? Have anybody ever been called or checked? Hey, let me, you know, I don't believe any of it. But anyway, 60% of people in America go to church. I'm going to rant for just a minute. If 60% of Americans went to church, crime wouldn't be a problem. Abortion wouldn't be an issue. We wouldn't have to excuse ourselves if we say that marriage is between a man and a woman, there's only male and female. Those things wouldn't be a problem if 60% of people went to church. I think of the whole United States of America, less than 5% are Christians. Truly born again, living the word. Less than 5%. That's what I think. That's not an official poll, but just look around. Just look around. Are y'all with me tonight? Is this side with me? Y'all with me over here? I hope so. Many believers are like the little girl one night. She was in bed and her mother heard her crying and she went and she said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "Mommy, I fell out of bed." The mother picked her up and pulled her close and said, "Well, honey, how'd you fall out of bed?" The little girl said, "I was sleeping too close to where I got in." There's a lot of people that get saved and they stay right there where they got in. I'm saved. And that's all I need. No, you're not reading the same book that I'm reading. You're not reading the same book I'm reading. Spiritual growth. The first thing I'll look at is the purpose of spiritual growth. In verse 1, it said, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. This is our first mention, introduction to Boaz. Boaz is a type of the Lord Jesus. Now, you may not understand what that means. There are people in the Bible that are types of Jesus Christ, typology. And Boaz is one of those types. From this point on, the emphasis of this book will be the process by which Ruth becomes acquainted with Boaz. And we'll see the relationship grow and prosper. Now, some think that spiritual growth is that means we're all going to be Bible scholars. No, that's not spiritual growth. There's a lot of Bible scholars that aren't saved. Huh? Thank you, Sue. I appreciate that. A lot of Bible scholars, a lot of guys that have all the letters behind their name, that don't mean a thing to me. Spiritual growth. Contrary to what people believe, it's not you're a Bible scholar. Yes, you will gain Bible knowledge. Yes, when you read, you will learn more. It's a process to study to help you understand the Bible. But the purpose of the Bible is to reveal Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. To some, spiritual growth is getting us ready for heaven. But I remind you, the light of heaven is the face of Jesus. The joy of heaven is the presence of Jesus. The melody of heaven is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Now, when we look at Boaz, in verse number 1, we're going to say he's a man of relations. Boaz is called a kinsman of her husband. Boaz was related to Naomi through marriage. Jesus is our kinsman. He that is in heaven had a father, but no mother. Came to this earth, born of a mother, but no father. Boaz was a man of relations, but Boaz was a man of resources. Notice in verse 1, very important what it says, a mighty man of wealth. He had a lot of wealth, a lot of possessions. That's going to become important as we go through. But Jesus is the greatest and the mightiest and the wealthiest. Amen. Boaz is a man of reputation. Notice it says his name was Boaz. Boaz means mighty man. Boaz was a man that was well respected. You know, you hear things throughout the years, you know, growing up and spend 30 years in Saudi Daisy, there are certain names, last names that you've heard all your life. And there was one the other day that had come up and that last name came up and somebody said, "You know them?" I said, "Yeah, they're probably hauling whiskey around. Or making whiskey, or doing things like that. That last name goes with that." "Well, what about this last name?" "Oh, yeah, those folks, you know what I'm saying." My dad used to always say, "Your name means something." But Boaz was a man of reputation. He had a good name. That person that Ruth would come to know, love, and marry was a man that was the name of Boaz. God has given Jesus a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I like to watch clips of preachers because all I hear is myself, and it's rough. I feel sorry for y'all. So I like to hear clips of preachers. One of my favorites, Adrian Rogers. Love him, met him, spent a week with him in Sevierville in a class there several years ago. And I love to hear the little clips. And the other day he said, was talking about that verse, every knee shall bow. And he said, you know what? You might as well go ahead and bow now because you're going to bow anyway. And I thought, amen, praise the Lord. But you know, there's people that don't care about that. They don't care about that. But this person that Ruth would come to know, loving Mary, was Boaz. And she would get to know him in a more intimate way. The old hymn says, more about Jesus, let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. You know what excites me when somebody comes up to me and says, preacher, I got a question about, I'm reading the Bible and I've got a question. It just blesses me. I probably can't answer your question, but I'll try. But it just blesses me because it tells me you're studying this Bible. Hey. Beverly and I are having a good time reading through the Word of God. She's rough, but I chose her, so we're good. But today was Judges 7 through 12. Whew, rough. Judges is a rough book. But you know what? It's God's Word. And when you read Judges, several times it says they did right in their own eyes. That's why they're having so much trouble. But every time they got themselves in trouble, they cried out to God. What'd God do? He sent somebody. So Judges is a rough book, but learning the Word of God. You say, preacher, I'm too old. No, you're never too old to learn. I don't remember how old Papa was. He was probably in his late 70s. And he told me one time, he said, I'm gonna read through the Bible. He said, I've studied it. I've taught it for years, but I've never read it from cover to cover. It took him, I think, about 2 years, and he finished it. But I mean, when he said everything, he went through the concordance and the maps and everything. But I was blessed at that age that he still wanted to do that. You're never too old to learn the Word of God. We're talking about spiritual growth. We see the pursuit of spiritual growth. Notice it said, and Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. In those days, there was a welfare system. Let me read what Leviticus 19 says. And when you reap the harvest of the land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of the field. Neither shall thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt not glean in the vineyard. Neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. When the owner of the land harvested wheat, he was instructed to leave the corners. And anything that was dropped, leave it on the ground. Now, in my years, my papa had a garden. You didn't drop anything with Mr. Tilly. And you'd go back and you'd pick it up. But in those days, they left the corners and they left whatever they dropped. And that's how the poor would eat. Now, if you remember, Naomi and Ruth came back to Bethlehem, Judea in the time of harvest. They were starving. They'd been in a drought. They were hungry. See how God takes care of you? They came back during the time of harvest, and God provided for them. So the owner was instructed to do that. So we see Ruth gathering these corners. We see a food that was needed to sustain her. Ruth was concerned about how they were going to eat. They'd returned home penniless, yet they had to eat. If they didn't eat, they would die. We have to eat. The same thing spiritually. I read the verse, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. R.A. Torrey told about one of his early pastorates, about a member getting along in her Christian life, and she replied very poorly, my life is a disgrace to me and the church. And Tori asked her, do you read and study your Bible every day? And she answered, no, but I study occasionally when I have time. So a little baby was lying in a carriage nearby. And get this picture in your mind. Tori pointed out as the baby saying, suppose you should feed that baby once in 2 hours today, once in 6 hours tomorrow and let it go. Would it grow? She said, no. I think the child would die under that kind of treatment, Tori responded, and yet you're treating your soul the same way. Sundays won't get it for you. There's people that come in on Sunday at every church I've ever been a part of, every church in America. And they walk in, they sit down, and they say, all right, preacher, it's up to you to feed me. And it is my job. I get it. I understand it. I take on that responsibility. But it's up to you to listen. And it's up to you to take it home with you. And it's up to you to read throughout the week. If you only come Sunday morning, and you may come Sunday night, and occasionally you might come on Wednesday, 3 hours, 4 hours tops. Is that going to get you all week? Why are our churches so weak? Because we have weak Christians. Y'all with me? Because we have Christians that are starving. We have Christians that aren't feeding themselves. Charles Spurgeon said, if we think our bodies require refreshment by food 3 times a day, can we think that less of our souls? If we neglect to feed our souls, spiritual life will become lean and eventually die. So Ruth needed food to sustain herself physically. We need to feed on God's word and substantiate our life. We see a field that was near to supply her. Now her desire, as we read, was to go into the nearby fields and glean corn. That's generic for wheat or barley. She had learned of the welfare system. And we'll notice later, and we may mention here in a minute, but the field that was chosen was the field of Boaz. The field that was chosen was one of the best fields there were. We see the Word of God as one of God's fields to find spiritual food. The Word of God may be likened to food as it is essential to the life of a soul. I can't, and if you come Sunday, you're going to hear the same thing about the Word of God, because both sermons are on that topic. The Word of God must be ingested. A field that was nearby to supply her. We see the purpose, we see the pursuit, and then we see the process. Look in verse 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was too light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. So what happened here? We see the divine guidance of life. That word hap means chance or happenstance, if you will. She just said, I want to glean in this field. And the chance that that field was owned by Boaz, she had no idea who Boaz was. She had no idea of what she was going to run into. It would appear, it would be understood in our scripture that she chose that field. Behind the scenes, though, God was at work. Behind the scenes, God said, this is the field I want you to glean from. This is the field I want you to take nourishment from. I think behind the scenes, many of us would be surprised how God works like he does. Many times we don't see what he's doing. It may be years down the line before you see what he's doing. It may be something in your life and you're praying for and you're praying for and you're praying for and you think, nothing's happening. But then out of nowhere, God does something and you think, wow, God's in control. Don't think it as a chance by chance. Don't think of it as luck. God, as the song says, sees the end from the beginning. And if you and I will get our hearts set and grow spiritually, I don't care how long you've been in church, I don't care how many times you've read the Bible through, everybody can grow spiritually every single day. He will guide us. I tell people all the time, I say, preacher, I just need God to do something in my life. I say, well, are you going to church? Well, no. Well, are you reading the Bible? Well, no. But I sure am praying. I said, well, you've got something right. You're praying, but you need to get in the Word. Get in the Word of God and read it and let God guide your path. Many will be surprised when they get to heaven and realize a lot of things that happened to them were not breaks, but blessings. Not breaks, but blessings. We see the divine goal of life. What was God doing here in these three verses? He was arranging things so that Ruth and Boaz would come to know each other and fall in love. God is behind the scenes of life, arranging all of these things. His goal in mind is to bring us into a deeper relationship with the Lord. As we go through these verses, as we go through this text, you're going to see Ruth. You're going to see Boaz come together. And you're going to see a relationship that's built, and you're going to see how God guides it. Isn't it really good when you watch somebody get right with God, start reading the Word of God, start studying, start praying, and you see how their life takes a different turn? Huh? It takes a different turn. I just, nothing better than watching somebody that you've known for years that just never got it. But when they get it, it clicks. And if I could snap my fingers, I can't. I just can't. I'm just not gifted. I get that all the time from her. I snap my fingers. So I can almost snap them, almost. But you watch somebody. And I've had people in my life, and I've watched, and I've pastored, and I pray, Lord, I pray they just get it. They just get it. And it clicks in their head that where these things over here are important, but there's nothing more important than serving God. Hey, yes. These things over here, yeah, they're important. These things we do in life and all of the things that we do, but there's nothing better than watching somebody and it clicks. And I think they got it. They got it. And that's what we're going to see as we go through our text in the book of Romans. Paul said this, and we know this verse, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We see Ruth getting in and going in her new life. You know what's heartbreaking is when somebody gets out of the will of God. You can see it. Slow progression. Slow fade, if you will. And you can see when somebody, there's something amiss in their life. And instead of getting a hold of God and praying it through, they walk out the door. They let the devil take over. Y'all with me? Y'all seen it. Y'all know it. You've seen people like that. And they get out in the world. Hardest person to reach for the Lord is somebody that's been saved and it's backslidden. It's very hard. I've tried for years with some people. But I hear people all the time, preacher, I need to get my life back in order. I talk to 20 or 25 people every few weeks that I know. I need to get back in church, preacher. I need to get back in church, preacher. One day that opportunity is not going to be there. One day that opportunity is not going to be there. Let me ask you to bow your heads all over God's house. Just, I wasn't very lengthy tonight. Just I wanted to catch these three verses before we really get in to the meat. It's important that we do everything we can to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important that we learn everything we can about this precious, precious Word of God. It's important that we learn, that we know, because we have to take it out to the world. Our Heavenly Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you for your blessings. Just a few thoughts tonight, Lord, in these first three verses. And I just pray that you'll just have your way, God. I pray, God, that you'll just help us as a church to together grow spiritually. Yes, we want to grow numerically. Yes, we want to do that. Any church that doesn't, there's a problem. Any church that doesn't want to, there's a problem. We ought to always want to grow numerically, but we want to grow spiritually. We want to grow spiritually, and I pray, God, that you help us to continue to go that route. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.